I'm a dick. A private dick. That's just like a private dancer, but with a gun, and dances cost extra. That's how we do it, the detective game. It's a game like Clue, but without the cards or the board, just the dice. And they always come up snake eyes. The name's Gwendolyn. Last name's not important. All I need to know is my friends call me Gwendolyn. My friends are bourbon and ice. And I haven't spoken to ice in years. It was a stormy and dark night. Not a dark and stormy night, that's an unrelated story, one that's got little to do with this narrative. That summer tale has something to do with Paul Clifford, and I tell you about it, but the library revoked my card. Something about expositioning too loud last time I was there. Come to think of it, this narrative has little to do with this narrative. Well, it was dark, like under the bed where you hide when a dame's husband comes home early, and stormy, like when he finds you and you put up a fight with your pants down. And his pants are up and zipped too, but his belt's off because he's beating you with it. Husbands whose wives are two-timing tend to get like that. So it's a stormy and dark night, right? This dame walks into my office, and I know it's mine because it's got my name on the door, see? No, up, a little to the left. No, your left. You got it. Gwendolyn. Private eye. That's it. Dick. Eye. They're the same thing sometimes. Other times, it's an embarrassing trip to the optometrist. Then he stops taking your calls. And this dame, see, I can tell just by looking at her that she's a real classy broad. Uptown all the way. Classy like that lollipop she's sucking on. A grown man like me would give a kidney to be a lollipop like that. Not me, though. I give it the office. An office just like this one. One with a girly named detective sitting behind a desk, expositioning to himself, and a classy broad sucking on the luckiest lollipop in the whole damn city. And she smells like old money. Money so old you can hardly see the blood that was spilled to earn it. Prim and proper with the upright posture of a minister's daughter. Minister like the one from Pulp Novel, The Case of the Murdering Minister. Can't remember what that was all about, though. Really should write these things down. So she walks over to me and she says, "Are you a detective?" I reply, "Sure." Doesn't sound like much, but for me it sounds like it's coming from a hard-boiled detective, which is me, a detective, I mean. I can't stand things hard-boiled. Detectives are like that. Now that she's walked over, I can see this broad's got legs that just won't quit. Round, tasty things with thighs big like ham hocks, going all the way from her succulent hips right to the ground. The end with a little piggy so sweet that a fella like me just wants to dip him in sauce and eat him right up. Note to self. Order lunch. And that's not all, see? They go all the way up, too. Up to a place so nice that a down-on-his-luck private dick would sell his own mother to pay for a cab to the airport to buy a one-way ticket on an airplane just for the view. A private dick who's afraid of flying. And one who will give you a good deal on a mother slightly used for cab fare and plane ticket to whatever they call that place up there. I'm starting to wish I hadn't skipped out on so much school. Too busy solving crime, I guess. So, just like a dame, she starts talking. Classy broads like her don't skip a beat. They're cool like that. Cool like the time I passed out with my head in the refrigerator. Never did find that salami. She says, "I hope you can help me. It's about my husband, you see. He is or was involved with a real shady character." Shady like good on a sunny day, or shady like 5 o'clock shadow at 10 in the morning, I ask. She just sits there, staring at me with those big, beautiful doe eyes like a red dress-wearing bombshell Bambi caught in the headlights of my question. Or maybe I didn't ask out loud. Internal monologue, probably. Well, even odds I'd learn soon enough. Enough like 3 helpings of spaghetti at the 24-hour diner. Note to self, have spaghetti for dinner. Spaghetti and bourbon. Hold the spaghetti. Well, he's a real bad son of a... Her eyes dropped to the floor as she trailed off. She's classier than I thought to myself. She couldn't even lower herself to say that word. Monkey, probably. Monkeys are always causing trouble. Never go to jail for it, though. No, they yank their Johnsons and throw their own scat. What do they get? Bananas. What do I get? Banned from the zoo. And a date with the judge. Problem is, I hit a Jack Torrance with one of my steamers. I tell His Honor I got a medal for the same thing during the war, but no dice. And I still don't know what the Japs are doing at the Somme anyway. Serves them right for being cheap seat rubberneckers of the wrong war. So she says, "Mr. Gwendolyn, are you listening to me?" "Sure thing, doll," I say while I think to myself, listening like a guy with attention deficit to... Hey, what's that on my desk? I always wanted one of those things. A rotary telephone, just like the kind of rotary telephone that a private dick would have in his office on a desk, which is also his. Oh, I hope the telephone is mine. Well, maybe later I'll try calling myself to see if I answer. I look up. The broad is gone. Guess she got tired of my expositioning. Dames will like that. Sure, they need you to put yourself in harm's way for $2 a day plus expenses, but if you sit there thinking to yourself, they just walk out on you without so much as a... whatever it is people say when they walk out. I'm too busy solving crime to pay attention. I didn't need her anyway. Last time a girl like that walked into my office, the next thing I knew, I woke up with a concussion in a ditch outside Chicago. And my name was Gwendolyn.